I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today, we're lucky to have M-Sport Ford World Rally Team Principal Rich Milliner join us on Gravel Notes to discuss everything about Safari. So welcome, Rich.
Thank you.
Just a sort of opening gambit, with all our guests, we ask a sort of little question, just a fun question to start with, which is your favourite rally car, favourite rally moment, and why?
Well, I'm going to probably have to go away from the brand here, purely because it was what got me into rally was... Super impressive, to be honest, with the years of kind of Bernsey in 2001-2002 era. That was a very iconic car for me and got me very much interested in it. I'll probably a close second now is, or even the joint first, I'll say, is the 2017 Fiesta WRC, because that has a lot of special memories as well. Rally moment with Rally GB 2017. Don't think we'll ever beat that. Three titles in about half an hour, which was
not
pretty
bad,
special. Yeah, that was great to be involved in. I would love to be involved in a win in the role that I'm in now, and I'm hoping that will come at some point. Obviously, we got pretty close in Corsica in 2019, but wasn't to be with Elvin that year. There's so many moments after all the years. It's hard to pick one out, but they would be my favourite.
Well, yeah, thanks for that, and I appreciate you joining us today. Obviously, you've had a massive weekend with Safari, obviously an unusual one being operating the team from home, but an awesome result for you guys, and huge credit. You deserve huge credit because it's a tough event, and to get your cars home with a sensible approach from Adrian and Gus, it was an impressive effort considering all the challenges that went ahead. Just sort of talk us through what that means to the team to have managed to achieve that from given the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, we went with the approach that we knew Safari would be a tricky one. The guys in the other teams are out fighting for the championship and manufacturers championship, which is not our main priority at the moment this season. So, you know, we know that they're going to be pushing their cars to the limit and there would have been problems. So we went with the attitude of attacking every stage sensibly and pushing and showing our speed and what the guys can do on the ones that were slightly smoother or the ones they felt more confident on. Adrian did that on a number of stages and a couple of second fastest and obviously his first ever fastest time as well. And I don't think Gus was too far away from a fastest time either, you know. The Sunday, his times were affected due to the fact he was forced onto the hard tyres. Unfortunately, his soft tyre package was compromised earlier in the weekend with punctures and some slices in the sidewalls, so it was a bit more difficult for him. But, you know, we were the only manufacturer to not actually have any problem with our car over the 3 days. Every single car in every other team had at least one mechanical problem. So, you know, I think we've got to be very happy with that, and the total time behind the podium that we were doesn't really give a true reflection of where we were over the weekend, because I think if we'd have told our guys to go and push from the start, we could have easily been on the podium, but we didn't want to do that. You know, we had a couple of bad rallies before, so we wanted to get a solid result, and that's exactly what we did, and it's great for the team and for the cars. And you know, the event is going to be in the calendar for the coming years, so it's really important they get all the stages as well. So they did everything we asked, and yeah, we're really happy with how it turned out.
I was going to say that sensible approach really paid off. We saw obviously a lot of action on the Friday. Obviously, Elfyn Evans and Danny Sordo retired on that day. Obviously, Ollie Solberg as well. So, I guess your approach has vindicated.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably more on the first day than we kind of expected, but over the course of the weekend, it did kind of pan out as we thought. You know, we wouldn't have expected, to be honest, Thierry's retirement, because by that point, you're kind of going round with the to get the results you needed, and he was unfortunately had a damper failure, and then the rain came, which caused the chaos with Oit and his problems. So, you know, he wouldn't have necessarily dropped the time if he didn't have the rain, because he wouldn't have needed a heated windscreen. But, you know, it's what happens in rally. You've got to be prepared for everything, and it's not over until it's over. And, you know, we've seen so often now that that's why it's important to keep the pressure up throughout the weekend. If you back off and think, I'll just go with this position, you could quite easily throw away a couple of places up the leaderboard because you decided to back off. So you have got to keep attacking and approaching the rally properly right throughout the weekend. And I think it was definitely a good weekend.
What did you make of the actual Safari's return, you know, as a rally? I know you weren't there, but you obviously saw everything from afar. It looked like a spectacular event and a successful event in terms of, you know, entertainment, crowd seemed to enjoy it. It would seem to tick all the boxes.
I mean, from what we saw, it was perfect. Fantastic scenery, imagery, you know, the animals in the photographs, and just you know, the interaction from the people there, the locals wanting to go and watch the rally, and the pictures and the videos of the highway being absolutely block solid. There's so many people trying to watch, you know, completely new continent. We're going to new audience. And I think it's certainly become one of the most iconic already. And I do suspect that they will have a hell of an entry next year compared to this year once the COVID regs hopefully have relaxed. You know, I think that's going to be seen as a challenge. It's almost going to be like the Dakar of WRC. And I think it will be really interesting for people to go. And I'm sure there will be a lot of people wanting to go. And, you know, both Malcolm and myself are desperate to go out there next year because it looked fantastic.
I guess it's a bit of a shot in the arm for the WRC too. I mean, it's a real event that sort of elevates it above other perhaps series because, you know, it's such a special event.
Yeah, it's a one of a kind, really. I think there's so many special things about it that, you know, the adventure of going there and seeing all of that. And like I say, if COVID rules are relaxed, hopefully, then, you know, there's an opportunity to go on safari before or after. And, you know, I've always said, especially outside of the WRC teams, you know, the semi manufacturers or the WRC 2 teams or the privateers that want to go, you know, that's what's great about WRC. You make your week-long rally into a holiday as well. And, you know, if you look and follow the story of the 91-year-old guy that went and drove the Rally 3 car there with his grandson in a Rally 2 car, you know, they were making a whole thing out of going there. And, you know, I think that's going to be such a nice thing to do next year because you can bring your sponsors, you can bring your partners and, you know, have a real nice adventure. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to going back.
Talk us through this year's event, though. Obviously, very unusual due to COVID rules. You're operating from your base in the UK. How did that go? Was it tricky? Was it difficult?
It's been the hardest one on the whole calendar in terms of logistics. It's not unusual to do two rallies in a row without coming back. We've done it between Argentina and Chile before my time in the role. We've done it between Corsica and San Remo. But it's been the most difficult this year because of the COVID regulations. So they're changing all the time. And a lot of people are probably aware and understand UK COVID rules. But we've got to take into account every other country's COVID rules and how the people from our team are allowed into that country. And we have people of different nationalities, and different nationalities have different rules. There's different rules coming in daily about whether you're vaccinated, half vaccinated, not vaccinated. Quarantine, is it self-quarantine, mandatory quarantine? Everything is difficult. And, you know, we've been planning it for the best part of 3-4 months. So actually our team has gone to Kenya and then directly from Kenya to Estonia, where we're re-prepping the cars there. And then the intention is that we'll use some of our personnel that are in Estonia to do a 3-day WRC test this weekend. And then we'll use the remainder of the time to re-prep the cars. We'll have to do a small run-out, shakedown in Estonia, and then take them onto the rally. But, you know, apart from that, we've still got things going on in the UK. We've got events happening here. We've got M Sport stages this weekend. The British Championship is the following weekend in Estonia. But the issue is, because of the quarantine regulations, we can't bring people back to help out in other jobs because they're committed to staying in Estonia at the moment. So, honestly, it's been a huge challenge. It's a huge additional cost in terms of COVID testing and COVID regulations. But, you know, it is the way the world is at the moment. But it is, yeah, it's very, very tricky in terms of logistics and trying to stick to your budgets. Because at the start of the year, you know, the budgets were not taking into account how much difficulty there would be with these kind of regulations. So It's been challenging, but we've learned a lot and found a few new solutions to things. It's rewarding when it's paid off, but at the time it can be quite stressful.
Yeah, I can imagine. And just on that, obviously on the weekend, how were you operating? Were you sort of having Teams calls with people on the ground there? How were you sort of actually trying to have an input?
So, I mean, we would have a bit of a catch-up in the evening with the drivers, just on WhatsApp or a call, and with the mechanics and engineers there. To be honest, the main amount of communication was just through kind of WhatsApp groups, the different groups we have with different people. We had a Teams meeting before the event to kind of discuss all the setup and the strategy for the event. But honestly, a lot of the time, once the guys kind of started and got into the rhythm of things, then they kind of look after themselves, and anything they need, we're available for. But we were able to watch everything with All Live. It was quite a nice test as well, because we had considered and talked next year about seeing if we could do some of our work remotely. Not necessarily my role or some of the other direct roles, but engineering and data studying. You know, is there a possibility that we can transfer this data back to the UK to save having to take people? Because, you know, even one person, they have a day money rate, they have accommodation, they have flights, there's a lot of costs associated. And, you know, to take one person for the whole week versus having them in the building back in Cumbria working and then over the weekend doing the data analysis is a lot more cost effective and, to be honest, a lot more carbon neutral, environmentally friendly kind of way of things are doing it, which is also what we're aiming to try and push in 2022 with the hybrid and the sustainable fuel route with the rally cars. So, you know, it's a whole team approach. So it was good to see from afar, and I do think there is potential that could work.
Going to say, you obviously WRC Live were crossing to you live in the place. Did you sort of, were you a little bit worried that they might cross while you're not at your desk or something like that? Just sort of a bit funny like that.
Malcolm was worried that he didn't want his lunch shown while he was eating his lunch. But the difficulty is that the All Live is on a slight delay over the internet. So when we're in the service park, we have a live feed because it's being produced there. But when we're watching from afar, it's delayed by about 1 minute. So by the time we told him they might go live on his lunch, he was already eating his lunch on telly. So. But it's not the same as being there, but it is achievable.
I was going to say, just talking about it, obviously the All Live, did it make you realise just how good the technology is now, that you can just see everything from where you are? Like, it's quite incredible. You couldn't do that 10 years ago.
No, I mean, we did discuss that while we were sitting around the boarding table. You know, it's incredible what we get now, and you imagine even going back three years ago before they introduced All Live. You know, you used to sit there and listen to the rally radio and watch the split times. You have no idea what's going on. And I think what we've got now, we're incredibly lucky, and it's been a huge innovation for the sport and something that, to be honest, we can never go back on. If you went back on this, you would be in big trouble. So it really is such a great thing to have.
Because let's talk about Adrian. Obviously, a great character on social media. Got to say, like, really enjoy his contributions on there. But to get a stage win, that must mean an awful lot for him, but also great for you guys as well. Because obviously, a lot of hard work goes in, and this guy's a real star of the future, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we know he's got potential. He's done everything we've asked over the events he's done. Sensible approach and a good way of learning and using his head to get around, and again shown in Safari by not pushing, even driving slower than he even wanted to drive on majority stages and pushing where he felt confident. You know, each night he was texting myself and Malcolm and saying, oh, I want to go faster, and just saying, you know, time will come. But, you know, to get that stage time is great, and, you know, a couple of people have maybe a different strategy on that stage and were a bit backed off to save tyres for the power stage, but there were certainly other drivers pushing. You know, Ogier was still pushing. Next stage, he was pushing to the fastest stage back off Adrian by a couple of seconds. So, you know, I think the time was well deserved, and, you know, really positive, like I say, for him, and to show that he can go at the speed needed, and the team and the car. You know, the car is still very competitive. So, yeah, we're really happy with how he's progressed, and a lot of spotlight's been put on him, but, you know, for me, it's also important that we recognise how much of a step on Gus has made as well. And, you know, he was compromised on the Sunday with the tyres, like I said earlier. And, you know, he ended up taking over from Adrian in in fourth place after the penalty was applied to Adrian. But I think if he'd had the same tyre package as Adrian on the Sunday, it would have been very close on stage times alone. So, you know, we can't ignore that because everyone's focusing on Adrian, but we have two very good drivers. So, we're really happy with them.
I was going to bring up Gus because he's really, really has improved. Those two, I guess you really want to keep hold of those for the future, do you? Like Gus and Adrian, they seem to work quite well together.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people and stories appearing of drivers and who we could have, who we couldn't have. And I've always said from the start, you know, if we didn't change the lineup from what we had now and stayed with Gus and Adrian for the next year, then we'd be very happy. You know, we know they're both very capable people. And it will be great to see how Tino goes in Estonia because we know he has potential as well. He's had a couple of bad rallies in WRC car, and we need to see that change. But, you know, we do have a strong lineup, but we, you know, we'll still consider everything we can for 22. But, you know, worst case scenario is not a worst case scenario for me. If we end up with who we have, then we'd be happy with that.
How is progress going with 2022? Obviously, we spoke of previously, but. I guess do you when you've got a rally on like Safari, does that sort of just take a back seat? You're not really thinking about that at all. You've got an event on your hands.
Yeah, I haven't been so involved with it recently. The engineering team are flat out on it and doing a great job. You know, we've got more tests planned over the coming months because we soon have to put the homologation papers in. You know, end of November they're in, so it's not actually as far away as people think, and that's got to be kind of the finished product for January. So. We'll start ramping up the testing a little bit more now, but we only have this limited number of days per year, 30 days, so we can't do huge amounts. We've got to be very careful what we do. So it's a difficult engineering challenge, but like I say, the team are really, really well on that, and the feedback we've had so far is very positive. And, you know, the introduction and the addition of the hybrid system is, from all the driver feedback I've seen and read, is really positive. It's a substantial improvement on what we have now with the cars.
Does it give everyone a bit of excitement and a bit of a lift as to, you know, it's a, you know, clean sheet of paper, you're starting next year with a, you know, a new challenge. Does it lift everyone?
I think so. You know, it's a clean slate. We know that we were capable and fast in 2017 when the new regs came in. We know that we believe we're doing very well in the development of our car, and it's the best opportunity for us to kind of come in and take a lead with the new regulations, and that's what we're aiming for. So we're putting a lot of resource into it, and we do feel that the team is capable of providing a car and everything else that's needed to win. So I do think, yeah, we're very happy and positive for next year.
That sort of next test, are they coming after Estonia, the Rally 1 test?
Yeah, so we'll get Estonia out of the way, and then we have a little bit more breathing space before Ypres. It's quite tricky with the events at the moment, but Ypres and Greece give us a little bit of space, but then Finland, Spain, Japan is very tight again, so it's kind of up and down. It's a lot of pressure comes on, then it relaxes a little bit, and then the pressure will come back towards the end of the season. So we've just got to kind of do everything we can whilst we can with the resources we have.
Would you go to say this has probably been the most challenging year for the team in terms of the workload, COVID, you know, everything that's going on? It must be pretty challenging.
It's certainly the most challenging I've been involved in. You know, COVID kind of unfortunately forced us to make a lot of redundancies at the middle to the end of last year. We made about 75 people redundant. We're not in a position to get back up to where we were on that level at the moment. But WRC is still as busy as it ever was. So everybody's working extra hard. But, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty in terms of business and, you know, running and employing everybody again to ensure, until we're all satisfied that we're getting out of this pandemic and not going to, you know, be forced into another situation, we've got to tread very, very carefully and very slowly. But, you know, we are working very hard to do everything we need to do this year, and the introduction of a new car as well has made things very tricky. But, you know, I hope that we get the results that we deserve, and that will really pay off for the guys and girls that are working really hard to make sure that this happens. So, you know, it's a huge team effort behind the scenes, and I really hope that in Monte Carlo in 22 we can put a result in that's worthy of all the hard work they've all put in.
Has the FIA sort of helped the teams with all the COVID extra costs for that? Has there been any sort of help at all?
No, unfortunately, it's all been bared by the teams. So, you know, we can be spending anywhere between 10,000 to 15,000 euro rally at the moment to get all of our COVID testing and all of our, you know, the restrictions and the rulings correct and up to date. And, you know, if you just multiply that over 5-6 events, you soon realise how much we're spending and how much money we're having to make additionally just to cover that charge. It's just very, very difficult. And I do hope that the vaccination programmes and these kind of things allow us to relax a little bit and we don't need so many tests. And we can then, you know, use that budget for other things. But at the moment, we have to abide by all the regulations in place, but it's an expensive way to go about things.
Has the sort of the success, I guess, of the UK vaccine rollout, has that given you some sort of hope and light at the end of the tunnel that things could get sort of not normal, but as close to normal as possible soon?
I mean, as we read and speak, things change daily, but I do start to see some improvements for people who are double vaccinated, maybe being a little bit more free to travel. The green list countries hopefully increase a little bit, which could help us on certain events. Quarantine potentially reducing for double vaccinated people, or, you know, the ability to test earlier, to release earlier, would all be great helps. But, you know, I just don't know. Like I said at the top of the conversation, although the UK rules are one thing, actually for UK citizens to go into other countries is difficult. A lot of countries have restrictions on UK people now. Let's not get political, but whether some of it's Brexit related and a bit of a kickback, and some of it is COVID related for sure. But ultimately, we have to abide by the rules of each country, and it's not as easy as just knowing what the UK rules are, because it's more about the rules that we have to face when we get there as well as coming back. So yeah, it's tricky, but I do hope and I do see a little glimmer of light in some countries. But in other ones, like wanting to go back to Australia and WRC, no, I honestly don't know when that can happen. Australia's been very, very secure that they're not going to open their borders for at least another 12 months. So there's still a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, indeed. I guess sort of looking ahead then, that's obviously Estonia's coming up. Let's just talk a little bit about that. How are you guys sort of feeling about that rally? Obviously, coming in there on a high after Safari. What are the sort of challenges Estonia's going to pose that obviously Safari didn't?
It's a very, very different rally. It is flat out from the first corner. If you are not prepared to go flat out from the first corner, you will be a long way off the lead by the end of the day, unfortunately. We have the new engine this year, which we didn't have last year. We're doing a damper test with the Raiga on the pre-event test we're doing this weekend. So we're putting a bit of effort into seeing where we can get to. We know Timu can be fast on those kind of rallies, but you know, the pace at the front will be incredible. So it's definitely not one you can approach in the same strategy as you went to Safari. But for Gus, I think the strategy is another finish. He should be comparing himself to people like Lube, Takamoto, you know, that kind of mid-pack, just below the top three, effectively. And, you know, that's where I want to see him. And Timu needs to have a sensible approach. He needs to finish the rally with no issues. And, you know, we don't expect him to win the rally. But if you can improve over the course of the weekend and a couple of stages here and there show that you can mix it with the top guys, that would be more than positive for us and help us, you know, consider who and how we take our drivers on for 2022.
I just wanted to talk to you about Sebastian. Obviously, you've worked with him. We all understand this is probably his last full year in the championship. He's just a different talent, isn't he? Like on Safari, for example, he shouldn't really have won that rally, but he ended up winning it, and he did it in Sardinia as well.
He shouldn't have really won Sardinia either, I guess.
Yeah, no, true. I was going to say, what is it about him? Is he just... I just can't understand how he's just got such a different talent, hasn't he?
He's the master. You know, at the end of the day, I always joke with him that he doesn't help himself when he argues about road position, then goes and wins the rally every time. But you know, he's just so clever. He's like I said earlier. You know, he's always pushing every stage, no matter what happens. He can push and just keeps the pressure on. And people know he will always be there. He nearly always finishes the rallies. He barely ever has an accident. He's very sympathetic on the car in terms of mechanical wise. So the car is always finishing the events. There is a problem, he can either fix it. He's a very good mechanic that people might not realise, but he's very good at fixing things. You know, thinking back to Turkey when he was in our car and he fixed the suspension that was pretty much completely broken and then went on to win the next stage with a ratchet strap holding the suspension together. You know, he knows what he's doing and he's just an incredible driver. And I have said for a while that I think he's the best driver that WRC has had. You know, Loeb is incredible driver as well. Slightly different time period for him and the way he won his championships. You know, he's still the best of all time. But some of the performances Seb has given have been incredible. And obviously I've followed Seb's career more than Seb Loeb's career. So what I see from Ogier is just, you know, it's just in some of his performances and the times he puts in, the way he wins rallies are, you know, people can learn a lot from him.
Well, do you think we'll ever see anyone quite like him again? Is he just one of those phenomenons that you just come every sort of generation?
There'll be another one, for sure. There'll be another one. But when and for how long and who, we don't know. You know, let's look at Formula One now. You know, Max is showing that he's as capable as Lewis is. But Lewis has however many world championships in a row, 7 or 8. And you know, Loeb had 9 and Ogier's on 7 at the moment. So they come along, but you know, when you set these incredible records, it takes, you know, if you were to even try and beat Ogier's record now, someone would have to win 8 in a row is 8 years. So 8 in not in a row is maybe 10 years. So you think how long a time period that really is.
Yeah.
You know, there will be more, don't get me wrong, but it's just such big long periods of time they've got to be at that top level for now, and that's an incredible thing to get to. And maybe getting to the level is hard enough, but sustaining that level is such a big challenge. So there will be more. There always is. But it depends what era you're looking at. And the era I'm looking at and have been involved in the most, there will never be anyone as good as Ogier, in my opinion.
A WRC without Ogier next year in terms of, you know, all events, is that going to be quite an interesting concept as to see who is going to come to the fore?
We might win something. No, I think it will be a massive loss. But, you know, again, I'm one that doesn't look into the history and the past and what we did have and what we might have had. You know, look at the future. You know, if you take Ogier out, but then you look at the talent coming in, we've got Adrian, we've got Oliver, we've got Gus, we've still got Team is Young. You know, there's still people breaking through from WRC2 into Rally 1. You know, you've got to keep looking for the future. The past was great while it was there, and there's some fantastic memories, the footage, the stories, everything that went on was brilliant. But you watch it for now and for today, so it's just natural progression. Someone stops, someone else will come along, and we'll make stories and have some great times. So, you know, it'd be sad to see him only in a partial season, but you know, the WRC won't suddenly lose its charm or action.
Now, and talking about that, obviously you've mentioned Adrian and Gus as sort of, you know, young guns coming through. We have to probably mention Takamoto as well. He's really, really come on, hasn't he?
Incredible. You know, the last few rallies have been brilliant for him. And, you know, I just fully would expect to see him getting promoted into the main team. He's a perfect driver to bring results back for manufacturer points. Look at the results he's put in and the times he's been putting in as well, and matching, you know, Ogier and Tanax and Neville's and people like that. You know, that's not easy. So he's great to watch, and he is honestly such a nice guy that it's fantastic to see him doing well.
Well, I appreciate your time, Rich. It's been great to chat to you, and thanks for joining us on Gravel Notes. But so we wish you all the best for Rally Estonia and the rallies coming up. So yeah, thanks again, and all the best.
Thank you. No problem.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,